Praise the Lord. Do you love Him today? Amen. Praise the Lord. He's a good God, isn't He? Wonderful Jesus. Serve a wonderful Savior, don't we? Well, about 11 years ago, my son Derek decided that he wanted to take a few drum lessons, and we got him on the drums, and he started playing on those drums. And after a while, he said, well, he goes, I think I'll just jump to the keyboard. And he started playing on that keyboard, and probably for about 11 years, him and I and young Brandon's been getting together and having some good music and getting together and having a good time. And you know, I just remember and just thinking back the time when Brandon was ready to play those drums. And, you know, I said, okay, let's see if we can get him up here for the first time and see what he does. And I just remember the first time he got up there, and he sounded pretty loud. It was loud, and just echoing back through the church, and get to thinking to myself, what are we going to do to help him get this down lowered a little bit? And just remember, you know, buying some pads and different things for the drums and the heads, and got to thinking about that. And I remember, you know, getting him on that. And, you know, he was only, my goodness, you know, can't even think about that back then. But I just remember that, and he gets playing on it, and, you know, after the service, how was it, Dad? And I'm thinking to myself, a little bit lower, a little bit lower, you know. And then he would go over to the church and practice, and then come back over and say, how was that, Dad? You know, can we play tonight? Can I play tonight? Well, I said, well, let's hear. Can I take these pads off now? Just wait a minute. Just keep practicing on those pads and keep working on it. And you know what? You know, you just take those times to work with the boys and get them involved in the ministry and get them involved in different things of the Lord. And I just thank God now that they're playing for Jesus and doing what they can. Somebody says, well, Derek, don't play with everybody else. But when you've been playing with Dad for 11 years, I guess you know Dad's key. You know Dad's what he's going to do and how he's going to work it. So this afternoon, maybe we can get these boys together here today and play for us, huh? And maybe we'll sing for them today, huh? Praise the Lord. There are some things I may not know. There are some places, oh, I can't go. But this one thing, my God is real, for I feel Him in my soul. God is real, oh yes, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. How many knows He's real today? He's real in my soul. Oh, my God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. Hallelujah, yes, His love for me, it's like your gold. My God is real, for I feel Him in my soul. Oh, my God is real. Sing it with me today. Oh, He's real in my soul. Oh, yeah, my God is real. He has washed and made me whole. Oh, yeah, it's like your gold, my God. He's
He's real, for I feel Him in my soul.
Hallelujah. One more time.
Glory to God. Lifted me up, He lifted me up. I know where we reached down His hand and He lifted me up, church, and that's why I love Him so. Singing glory to God, He lifted me up. Oh, He lifted me up. I know, oh, yes, He reached down His hand and He lifted me up. Oh, and that's why I love Him so. Oh, yes, singing glory to God. He lifted me up. Oh, He lifted me up. I know. He reached down His hand and He lifted me up. Church, and that's why I love Him so. Singing today, oh, glory to God. He lifted me up. Oh, He lifted me up. I know. He reached down His hand and He lifted me up. And that's why I love Him so. One more time, oh, singing glory to God. He lifted me up. How many's been lifted up today? He lifted me up. I know. Yeah, He reached down His hand and He lifted me up. Oh, and that's why I love Him so. Let's give Him glory today. Hallelujah. Give Him glory. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. Aren't you glad He lifted you up? He just lifted you up out of a miry clay. Set your feet on the solid rock. How many are so glad this day you're on the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the King of glory this day. So mighty, high, and lifted up. Thank you, guys. Praise the Lord. Right off the bat, you just lose everything out of your Bible, so that's all right, huh? Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles today, turn with me to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 9. 1 Kings, chapter 9, this afternoon, and we'll try our best not to hold you too long, being in an afternoon service. But we're so thankful that we're able just to be here this year. Don't have a whole long time to be here. But I'll tell you what, just walking into the presence of the Lord last night was just a wonderful experience. You just knew you were just right where you needed to be. And I'm just so thankful that God is moving around here like He always does. And He is working by His Spirit and by His power. Church, all we've got to do is just realize that God, when God is there and when God is present, great things are abound to happen. Great things are in store for those that know their God. But one thing that we must do is keep our eyes and our mind occupied upon the Lord and stayed upon Him, because we know that the adversary, the devil himself, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. So that means, child of God, today you are not exempt from that enemy warring and destroying your heart and your mind. Keep your eyes and your heart and your mind focused upon the Lord, because we know that these times are very short and the times are drawing near where the Son of Man is coming. Jesus said He's coming back. Anybody in agreement with that today? How many knows He's coming back? Not just for a defeated group of people today, not just for somebody that's drowned, discouraged, or destroyed. destroyed, but He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. How many wants to be part of that church this afternoon? I don't know about you, but I'm longing and looking, hallelujah, for the returning of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when your eyes are looking towards heaven, one day, church, He will not disappoint you, but hallelujah, He will come back crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not coming back anymore to be beaten and knocked down and amen, laughed at, but He's coming back crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords today. Somebody put your hands together and give Him a hand clap today for who He is. He is the King of Glory today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody happy today? Praise the Lord. The Lord is so good to His people. Without the Lord, where would you be, or what would we do without Him? I wonder where we would be in our circumstance, or in our everyday life, where we would be without the Lord. But I so thank the Lord that He saved us. He changed us. He rearranged our lives, called us into His family. We are King's kids now. We have royal blood flowing through our veins this afternoon. Hallelujah. He called us son. He called us daughter. My, what a privilege and an honor to serve the Lord Jesus Christ today, isn't it? Hallelujah. We're so thankful for camp meeting. These are the hours of refreshing. These are the hours of victory within your life. And when you take a hold of what God is giving to you in camp meeting, you will find not only will you be refreshed, but you'll have the power to go out into the world and the strength to be able to stand up against the wiles or the strategies of the devil, and know that what God has placed in your heart this week, you can be a victorious child of God. You have the goods to staff afternoon, because God has given him to you. Now, hallelujah, stand up and let the devil know who you are in Christ Jesus, that you are His child today. You don't no longer belong to the things of the world, hallelujah, but praise God, you belong to the power and the presence of Almighty God, and greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. But today, I'd like to title this message, Feasting at the King's Table. Feasting at the King's Table. As we look at this story this afternoon, I want to go back just a little bit in the story. If you, in your Bible, or looking, have read in your Bible in times past about the friendship of David and Jonathan. My goodness, if you would ever think that you could have such a friend as David, or even such a friend as Jonathan. The Bible tells us that these two men were knit together to the place where they knew one another's thoughts. They knew, when one was down, they would always encourage one another. The Bible tells us they helped one another. They strengthened one another. When the enemy would come, Jonathan was there for David, and David was there for Jonathan. And my, what a story that has developed here in the book of Kings of these two young men. But you know, the Bible tells us that as their life continued to go on, we find that Jonathan's dad, King Saul, became a very jealous and a rageous man, to the point where he got so jealous of David that he was not only upset at David, but he was out to kill David. And the Bible tells us that the theme or the things that went on was David or Saul would kill his thousands, and David would kill his tens of thousands. And you know, it got back into the heart of Saul, to the point where Saul was so upset or jealous of David that he sought to kill him. And here we find that Jonathan was kind of caught right in the middle, because this was his very best friend. And the Bible tells us that David was put on the run, but before he was put on the run, Jonathan would spare or save his life from his dad. And the Bible tells us that he escaped one bad scenario after another. And the story goes on to say that on Mount Gilboa, Saul and Jonathan fought to the death. As the Philistines had routed Israel, they were Israel's overmatched and under-equipped army. And for a brief time, Saul's son, Ishobosheth, had ruled part of Israel. But David's mighty warrior, Joab, had first killed Ishbosheth's general, who was Abner at this time. And then Joab's men had murdered Ishbosheth, and we find that during this whole thing that was taking a place and erupting in Israel at this time, there was a loyal servant of Saul's, and they fled before Joab's mighty men, all of those that were loyal to King Saul. And in that process of time, we find here that who sought Saul's people, and they were slaughtered, as Joab would slaughter them down and kill and destroy them. My, such murder that was taking place. But you know what? We find that in today's world, we are where we are today because of the wars that had taken place. You know, sometimes people and kingdoms and places would rise up against people and try to destroy or try to take the freedom away from our country and try to take the fight out of us as individuals. But thanks be to God today for those that stood for the freedom, those that stood for right, those that stood in the gap, those that just said, I will surrender, I will lose everything if I must to take and fight for this freedom. Thank God we have the freedom today to worship Almighty God. Thank God today we have that liberty. Someone stood their ground because someone would fight for our country. Thank God for that today. But as we look at this story this afternoon, we see that Joab had destroyed Ishbosheth, and those that were slaughtered all died by the sword, except one child whose name was Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, which means the shameful one, and we find here that he, during this, all the confusion and the panic from fleeing from Joab's men, young Mephibosheth's nurse managed to drop him on the ground. And as he was dropped on the ground, he became a cripple. And the Bible tells us that as this nurse managed to escape, but the tumble left the child crippled, even though he was Jonathan's son and the grandson of Saul, Mephibosheth was destined to grow up in obscurity. Not only in obscurity, but we find that he was crippled physically, he was crippled emotionally, and we find that he was also crippled spiritually. And we find here that as the story begins to unravel here in chapter 9 of 1 Kings, let me see, maybe it's in 2 Kings we go in there today. Praise the Lord. It is not there. Praise God. 2 Samuel, thank you, sister. 2 Samuel chapter 9. See if we're there. Praise the Lord. Somebody asked me if I still get a little nervous. I do, until the anointing kicks in. Praise God. And we just appreciate God's anointing. But yes, thank you, sister. But in 2 Samuel chapter 9, we find that David begins to talk, and he says, "Is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Realizing as I talk to you about the story that in the time past of what had taken place up to this point, I'd like to say that even David lived in that memory of his best friend Jonathan. There was probably not a time when he didn't think about Jonathan, a time when he couldn't imagine him being dead and being gone from his life. But we find here that even as he's speaking, you can see that his heart was still burdened or still concerned about Jonathan and about his life. And the Bible says, "Is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul?" I know that this is not part of the message, but let me bring this to you today. How many knows that in this life and in this hour today, instead of being angry, instead of being jealous, instead of being upset, we've got to show our loved ones kindness. We've got to show our church brothers and sisters kindness. We've got to bring them to a place where they say, "Hey, amen, can I help someone along the way?" Your smile will affect those around you. Your atmosphere of how you take care of those around you will make a difference. Amen. We find showing a compassion, making a difference in somebody's life will make all the difference in the world. How many knows today, instead of saying, "I'm going to make it all on my own," we need to help our brothers and sisters along the way to say, "Come on, brother, you can make it. Come on, sister, there's still some fight to fight, but I know within you can come through victoriously." Being an encourager is very important in this hour and in this day. Why? Because the devil will continue to beat and beat and beat God's people down to the place where they feel like there's no way out, there's no victory, there's no help. But I'd like to say today, when you, a mouthpiece for the Lord, will stand up and say, "Come on, brother, come on, sister, you can make it." I'd like to say you are doing God's work. Can you say amen today? And we find here that as David begins to look here, and he says, "Is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And we look at this and see David wanted to fulfill his vow that he had given unto Jonathan. They made a covenant with one another. They said, "I'm going to be there. I'm going to help you. I'm going to do what I can." And they were not out to let that vow down, but they were out to fulfill. And David wanted to fulfill that vow that was given and that was spoken from his lips. When you promise God something, church, how many knows you got to fulfill what God has promised, or you promise God? How many knows God fulfills His promises? God is not a God that He would lie today. God is not a God that He would say, "Well, I did say I would do that for you, but I'm not going to." God will fulfill His promise. If He said, "I'll bless you," how many knows He'll bless you today? If He said, "I will meet your needs," you can guarantee that God will come through. But let me tell you, sometimes we make promises to God that we can't fulfill. Somebody says, "When I'm sick, God, if you heal me, I'll do this. If you do this, I'll take care of that." But you know, sometimes we let God down on our end. But David come to a point where he said, "I don't want to let my friend down. I want to be there for him, even though he's dead. Is there yet anybody in this household that I can take care of and show kindness to?" And we look at this today and we find that Ziba, his servant... Let's read before we get way ahead of my message today. David in verse 1 said, "Is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Macher, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar. And then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Macher, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. And then Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, fell on his face, and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold, thy servant. David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the goodness and the greatness of our God today. We ask you, Lord, that as we break this bread today, Lord, that souls would be fed and God, hearts would be touched and lives would be changed. That is our purpose today. And we ask you, O God, that you would move in a special way this afternoon by your Spirit. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we find that as David had finally located Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth was in a place of a Macher, in a place called Lodibar. We find here that as Lodibar, it was a place of rejection. It was a place where, as we look at this this afternoon, it was a place of lack. It was a place of poverty, dryness, and desolation. They felt that he would no longer be found. And Mephibosheth, in knowing that he was the son of Jonathan and knowing that he was the grandson of King Saul, accepted his circumstance where he was instead of taking or rising up to the position that was rightfully his. And we find that is this place was a wilderness, desert, and an empty field of not sowing and no harvest. I'd like to say Lodibar also means that nothing was there. Every time plants would get planted, they would die off because there was no water to continually put and produce and help produce those plants. Every time something would grow, it would die. Every time a harvest was getting ready to receive, it would not be received because that was barren and it was a wasteland, poverty stricken, a lackness. There was nothing in that wilderness. I don't know about you today, but there's been times when we felt like we've been in those situations before, where we've been in those wilderness states of mind or states of circumstance and states of places where we felt like, where is God at this time? Why is not God moving? Why is not God working? But he accepted his position and he accepted the place where he was at. I believe today that there's many in the world that accept the status quo and accept the place where they are and say, well, God allowed me to get into this place. I guess this is where he wants me to be. But I'd like to say today, God doesn't want us to stay even in the wilderness. Can you say amen today? God doesn't want us to stay in that dry spot where you are. God doesn't want us to stay amen in those circumstances where you are today. But Satan is saying, I've got him now in Lodibar, where there is a waste spot, where there is nothing and no place that he will be able to get out. But you know something today, I hear a covenant speaking that he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I hear a covenant speaking today that says, though you may be in the wilderness now, amen, I've got the strength to bring you through. Amen, even though God's saying to you today, amen, hold on my child, joy cometh in the morning, don't amen quit now, hang on, why, amen, because you're coming out of the wilderness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, praise his wonderful name. Now get to thinking of those things and looking at that. And the Bible tells us that he was okay with where he was. But here comes the servant of the king saying, as I can see as he walking in that house, he pulls back an old curtain and back in the corner, back in the, where there's no light, because amen, I believe that as Mephibosheth left or lived his life, not too many times did he go out on the street because he was crippled. His peers would make fun of him. Maybe there were times that people would say, "Oh, who's he?" Amen. They would back away and shy away from him and say, "Oh, who is this man?" And I believe that it probably hurt. Amen. Mephibosheth's heart, hearing what people would have to say about him, hearing what people would do to him. So he stayed in that little hut, stayed in that life of poverty, stayed in that life of desolation, to the point in the place where amen, David heard that he was still alive, and he said, "Can I help him? Can I do some kindness to him?" And the servant of this king walks into this little hut, pulls back the curtain, and the light begins to shine through that doorway, a light of victory and a light of peace and a light, amen, that would have joy, and he wanted to bring it into this young man's heart. How many knows today God wants to give you a peace that'll pass all understanding? God wants to give you a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. God wants to place within you His power and His blessings and His anointing. But church, let me say something today. You cannot continue to live in Lodibar, but there comes a place where God will say, "Up, amen, get up today. I'm going to bring you out of this place and bring you into a life of victory." Can you say amen today? Hallelujah. And as we look at this, the Bible tells us that they begin to ride out of Lodibar. When's the last time you looked at this and said, "God, can you take me out of here?" Amen. And I'm not talking about out of this world either. I'm saying, can you bring me out of this circumstance? Can you bring me out of the situation financially, spiritually, the wreck that I'm in? God, can you help me out? Lord, you see, Lord, the things that I'm facing and what I'm going through. And I believe, how many knows today, there are times that you've got to just stir yourself in the Lord, amen, and just say to yourself, "I, amen, am not going to sit here in this place anymore and die, but I know that there's a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on my side that's going to help me, that can carry me through, that can, amen, help me ride out of Lodibar." Can you say amen today? Help me ride out of Lodibar. Come on, somebody say, "Help me ride out of Lodibar." Help me ride out of Lodibar. I believe today that there's many that is stuck in that place. I believe that you need a revival in your spirit that'll shake you to the point to say, when the Spirit of God's moving, "I must get up. When He tells me to run, I've got to run. When He tells me to dance, I've got to dance. When He tells me to shout, I've got to shout. When He tells me, amen, to run, I've got to run." Amen. I believe that when we got to come to a place that when God is saying, "Now's the time to get out of Lodi Bar. Now's the time to get out of this desert, wilderness." How many knows today that when God is speaking promise and when God is speaking His vow and His blessing into you, hallelujah, you can't sit still and say, "Well, amen, I think He's blessing everybody else but me." God's speaking to you today, amen, and He's saying, "Get out of that seat. Get out, amen, of your place that you're in. Amen, and come to me. I will in no wise cast you out. But I've got a blessing waiting for you if you just but step into this today and believe the promises and not withhold, amen, but let go and let God do what He wants to do in your life today." Hallelujah. And we find here that as He came out, He not only came out of that desolate place or that sin or that place of torment or that place of mind-boggling experiences, but the Bible says that when He came, into the king's palace. He did not just jump at the table at one time and all say, okay, feed me. But I believe the servant of King David begins to take young Mephibosheth up to the tub. It was no longer just a dip down at the water. It was no longer just, well, I wipe my face and everything is going to look good. But I'd like to say he went into a nice place where he could bathe. He was cleaning himself up from the place of desert. He was cleaning himself up from Lodibar. He was cleaning himself up from the things, amen, that he was facing in his mind. How many knows today that when God gets a hold of His people, amen, He cleans you up. He sets you in order. He, amen, shows you, hallelujah, that you don't have to live in that condition anymore, but I'll clean you. I'll help you. I'll feel you. I'll show you a place of victory in your life. And that's exactly what happened to Mephibosheth. The Bible tells us that as he went into that place, amen, he began to come to a place where he did not understand it. It was not familiar to him anymore. And the Bible says instead of being held put in a corner or a place of isolation, he came to a place of victory in his life. How many likes it when you have victory in your life today? How many likes it when you swim in victory, when you walk in victory, and it's you and God walking hand in hand? Sometimes in the valleys, you don't know if God's there. You don't know if God's moving. You don't know if God's working. You don't know if God has His hand upon you. But you realize something today. The Bible tells us that even in the valleys, amen, He will restore your soul. He will pick you up when you think that He's not there and say, hey, son, daughter, amen, I want to restore you today. I want to bring back some victory. I want to bring back some joy. I want to bring back some life into you again. How many knows today that God desires to plant that within you, but you must be willing to say, yes, Lord, I want to get cleaned up. I want to get to a place where, Lord, I'm going to not just come in and not reverence you and just stand in your presence, but I want to know that you know that you love me today. I want to know that you're concerned about me. And I'd like to say, God, hallelujah, never leaves His promise, but He'll do exactly what He said He will do. He will move and perform that thing which He set out to do in the first place. So valleys, sometimes we think, are the hardest places or the hardest things to go through. But realize today, in those valleys, God will visit you and God will move in your life and God will help you through your situations. Thank God that in the valley He restoreth our souls. I believe that He put on that purple robe, that robe of linen. He grabbed the best sandals, preparing Himself to dine. Mephibosheth had to move from Lodibar to the palace in order to claim his blessings. And you see that today, he had to move out of Lodibar in order to claim his blessings. Amen. Sometimes, church, you got to come to your senses and say, hey, I'm not doing right. I'm living in sin, or sin is getting a hold of me. I've got to come out from among them and be separate. And the Bible tells us, you got to come out from among the world today, even though the world may show you the pleasures and show you this good thing to say, hey, it looks good in this world. Everything around, amen, looks good. I think I'll taste. No, the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord, He is good this afternoon. I'd like to say today that when you decide to leave Lodibar, you are entering into a place of blessing. You are entering into the place where you'll be able to feast at the King's table. You'll know, hallelujah, that no matter what the devil may try to bring at you, amen, though it's all kinds of activity, although it's kind of worldly pleasures, you will stand and say, hey, I don't need those things to make me happy. I don't need another drink, amen, to soothe my conscience. I don't need another pill, amen, to make me float. All I need is the Holy Ghost. How many knows today you just need the power of the Holy Ghost to saturate your life and set you free from the things of this world before you come out? Amen. As you come out, amen, and you got to claim the promises that God has given unto you. Can you say amen today? But you know, Satan always brings that lure, or he brings his favorite lure at you. He does everything he can to bring his goods to you. Any fishermen in here? I'm sure there's probably a few today. When you're out fishing for walleye, or you're fishing for your favorite fish that you like to fish for, you've got to have one of those lures to catch their attention or to catch their hunger or desire. And you know, that's what Satan does to each and every one of us today. He is going to show you his best and try his best to lure you or pull you in his direction. But you know today, you reject the things that pull you into Lodibar. You reject those things this afternoon and say, I'm not going to live like that. No longer am I going to stay in that place. No longer am I going to allow the enemy to attack my mind, my heart, my position. No longer am I going to allow Satan to rule and to reign. But how many knows you reject that lure and you reject that life in Lodibar, and you come to a place to say, I want to live right. I want to walk holy before God. I want to walk righteous before God. Come on, I'm talking to you today, church. This is where we need to be when we get out of Lodibar. We need to live in the land of the living, where God, amen, is letting His milk and honey flow into your life, where the blessings one more time is flowing through you. You need to allow God to touch you. You need to allow God to set you free. You need to allow God to do the work that is needed within your life today. And how many knows we need to get out of Lodibar today? We need to get out of that place, and we not allow the lures of Satan to destroy our minds and destroy our thought life, destroy the heart and destroy the individual. Somebody says, well, how does that happen? And I believe that there's a lot of times God has not given us the spirit of fear. And you know what the Bible says? Mephibosheth, he was afraid to stand before David. There was fear in his heart. He thought he was going to be killed. But God has not given us the spirit of fear this afternoon. How many knows He's not given us that spirit? Don't allow Satan to put and attack you with that spirit of fear this afternoon. And I believe today many of God's people are not victorious or cannot live the victorious life because of the fear, because of the doubt, and because of the things that Satan would rack and pour and put into the mind of his people, believing a lie that, hey, my circumstance is, I guess I'm going to have to stay in here in Lodibar forever. And you know what? Mephibosheth came to that point and spot in his life to believe the lie. I guess I'm just a cripple. I guess my church is not supposed to grow. I guess this is just exactly the way the devil wants it. I guess I just live the lie and believe the lie. And I'd like to say today, don't believe the lie of the devil. Hallelujah. Don't you dare stand there and listen to the devil. I believe so many times today, even right from the very beginning in the garden, the Bible tells us that Eve began to listen to what the devil had to say to her. And the Bible says she listened to exactly everything that she heard. Let me say today, don't believe the lie. Come on, somebody say, don't believe the lie Hallelujah. Too many times we believe what everybody else tells us. You're not going to amount to anything. Yeah, amen. You're not going to make it. Hallelujah. Where's your finances, preacher? Where's your church? Where's your congregation? I don't know. But God said be faithful. And that's all we know is that we can't believe what the devil's saying. But we've got to put our confidence and trust, amen, in the power of God to bring us through this afternoon. Can you say amen? Let's believe, amen, the report of the Lord and stand upon His report and not believe that lie of the devil. Mephibosheth believed that he was never going to get out of Lodibar. He believed that he was never going to see victory in his life again. He never believed that he was going to be walking on the royal courts of David's Aben kingdom. He never felt that he was ever going to amount to anything. He was fleeing intimidation. I like to say, if you find yourself running from intimidation, you will always be crippled by others' opinions of you or what they say or what they think of you or how they act towards you. I don't want to go to your church no more because, amen, if we allow intimidation of what others' people say to us, we will be crippled forever. But how many knows the Bible tells us of a young David back through some of those, amen, times when David came out of the, amen, shepherd's field, come on down onto the war scene, and here there comes a great big 9 feet 9 inch tall giant that says, amen, you guys are nothing, you guys can't do anything, and the fear of intimidation, amen, destroyed God's army. Hallelujah. And I like to say today, they believed it. They could not take the giant. But here comes a man that stood on the Word of God. How many believes today? You got to stand upon the Word of God. No matter how much intimidation you feel. No matter how much intimidation is there. Stand your ground. Hallelujah. And put the giant down. Let him be defeated. Because how many know Satan is a defeated foe today? Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Many times we feel like we're in that intimidation mode. But you see something today? Here we look at here. The Bible even goes back into the place where David or Mephibosheth, too many names, in verse 4. The king said unto him, "Where is he?" Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amihel, in Lodibar." Like to say that Mephibosheth dwelt in the house of Machir. And that word Machir means sold out. So I'd like to say that he was sold out to his circumstances. What can I say about this afternoon, church? Don't sell out to your circumstances. He sold out to his circumstances. I like to say there's many times that you may have settled for less, but I like to say God never settles for less today. God is always looking to put the very best in His children. This afternoon, look at this today. Don't settle for second best. Don't settle for say, "Well, I guess this is what God wants." I'd like to say, God wants to give you a blessing today. God wants to, amen, give you something where the table is spread, where it's not just a little feast, where it's not just a little meal. But I'd like to say it's about like Thanksgiving. Giving time at this place. How many knows that at Thanksgiving you have that turkey spread? You have those homemade noodles placed in that bowl. You have those mashed potatoes and gravy. You have your corn, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower. The table spread. Hallelujah. And I get to thinking about that today. God has the table spread where, amen, the saints of God are fed. He wants you to
come and dine. He wants you, hallelujah, to get out of Lodibar and say, God, amen, I know this isn't just for me, but Lord, there's something else. Amen, at that king's table, amen, there's a feast beyond measure. Can you say amen today? There's a feast. When are you feasting? What are you feasting on? Let's feast on some things today. What are we going to feast on? Hallelujah. There's a little bit of time yet. I'd like to say that when you come to the table today, let's look here in these verses and we'll point these out. And in verse 6, Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come up unto David and fell on his face. He reverenced him. How many knows you got to reverence him in the presence of God? You can't be this playing on your phone. You can't be playing, hallelujah, amen, on your iPod. You can't be playing around, amen, and whispering and talking and talking. Amen. Reverence the things of God. He came down, amen, into the presence of David, and the Bible tells us that he reverenced him. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. David said unto him, fear not. Don't worry about it anymore. You're not living in that place anymore. Don't worry about it. I've placed something in your heart today, amen, at this table, that you'll never have to worry about Lodibar again. You'll never have to worry about the devil putting, amen, fear in your heart. Why? Because I give you some peace. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that at the king's table you can find peace? Hallelujah. That the world has never give you, nor the world can never take it away. Hallelujah. It's the peace of God. When I lay my head down at night, no matter what everybody else is doing around me, I have the peace that God's going to take care of me. Somebody says, I can't sleep at night. I'm troubled. I've got this in mind and that in mind. Hey, and somebody says, I can't even rest during the day. I'd like to say, you just need to give it to God and allow the peace of God to rule and to reign in your heart today. He said the first thing, he said, fear not. That means that at that king's table, there was some peace. There was some peace. Hallelujah. Church, we need peace in an untamed world. Can you say amen? We need some peace. Aren't you glad for the peace of God? I can come in today, lift my heart and my hands and my life unto the Lord, and God gives a peace. God places that peace. My God, church, we need peace. The world is in chaos. We need peace. There's war after war. There's gas prices. There's earthquakes. There's tsunamis. There's different things. We need peace today. We need the presence of God. Church, without the presence of God, you'll never feast at the peace and the power of God. You need peace today. Allow the peace of God to set you in your heart and rule in your heart. You know what? Somebody says, preacher, that's easy for you to say. But you know what? I can't stand here and not preach it without ever having to go through those circumstances like Mephibosheth did. I needed peace in my heart too. And you know what? That peace came. God give that peace. And I'm so thankful today for the peace of God. Hallelujah, at the king's table this afternoon. Hallelujah. Sit here, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness. You don't have to worry about living in fear no more. You don't have to worry about living in Lodibar. I'm going to give you peace. And here we find that he said, I will show thee kindness, and I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. Do you see that? He also not only gave him peace, but he gave him back his position. What is your position in Christ this afternoon? Do you see the Bible tells us that I will restore unto you all the years that the canker worm and the palmer worm has taken from your life, meaning there's something today. The devil has stolen so much from the church today that once what the things that we once used to, amen, strive for and stand for are now be under our feet. Amen. And we're just saying, well, I'll get back to where I used to be. No, God said He will restore you back to your position. Mephibosheth, you no longer will have to be a crippled boy at Lodibar, but now you'll be sitting at the king's table. Hallelujah. How many knows today your position is sitting at the feet of Jesus, sitting, hallelujah, in the presence of Almighty God, and allowing the Lord to saturate you and bring you, hallelujah, to the place where He wants you to be in Him, restoring your position. And sometimes, church, you say, what is my position? When your position is in Christ Jesus, hallelujah, that means you have authority, number one, and you have power over all powers of Satan. In Lodibar, so many times we allowed Satan to rule and to reign. But when you take your rightful position at the king's table, I'd like to say today, hallelujah, you are sitting in the right place. I remember some of the good old days on the farm. Every time around Christmas, holidays, or just weekends, the families would gather in. Boy, I miss things like that. But you know, when we'd sit down at Grandma and Grandpa's table, everybody had a seat that they were not really assigned to, but they kind of knew where they were sitting. I remember Grandpa sitting at the end of the table, and here's my grandma sitting right beside him. They knew their position of that table. And you know what? The rest would just gather around that table. You know what? At that table, how many knows family gatherings, there's peace, there's joy, there's laughter, there's happiness, there's things at that table that is needed, amen, at those times and those places. Whether it's just how was school today, or how was everything going at work, or how was everything going on the farm, or how was everything going around, you need that time, amen, of visitation around the table. And we find that, amen, you got to sit at your position at the table. Can you say amen? There's times you got to sit at the table at your position. And I believe not only did David restore his position and give him back everything that was needed, but here the Bible tells us in this verse also, as we look here, he said here, David said, fear not, I'll restore thee all the land. In verse 7, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. That means that even though all hell is breaking loose around us, and though all things is going wrong around us, he said, I'll provide and make a way where there is no way. That is provision. God gives you peace. God gives you, hallelujah, a place of where He will let you get back into your position, and then He will provide. How many knows God is a way maker where there is no way? But you know something today, you've got to come to a place like Abraham said, hallelujah, as he turned around and saw the ram caught in the thicket. Behold, God provided. Hallelujah, there was a ram caught. He said, that's amen, I'll name that place Jehovah Jireh, because God is a provider and a way maker. How many knows He's a way maker where there is no way? Hallelujah. When you feel like you'll never get out, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Why? Because God is on your side today. He's the King of Kings and the King of Glory today. He's sitting on His throne, making amen. And we find today that He's saying, come, feast at my table. Come, there's plenty. Come, hallelujah, where you'll never have to worry about starvation again. You'll eat continuously. You'll never, amen, be in want. You'll never lack for anything. Why? Because I'm the Lord your God. Hallelujah, put your trust in me and let me feed you today. How many wants the Lord to feed us this afternoon? Hallelujah. How many wants the Lord to feed us this afternoon?
Come on, somebody say, God, I'm hungry and I want to be fed. We used to sing that chorus, feed me all the days of my life. And I believe it relates back to this story where Mephibosheth no longer stayed in the place where he didn't know if he was getting anything to eat from day to day. But he came to the place where he said, amen, no longer will I have to worry about what I'm going to eat tomorrow. No longer am I going to worry about what Satan's going to do to me today, because I know that I'm His today. How many knows that you're His? How many knows that you belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? How many knows today that He, amen, calls you son and He calls you daughter today? That's right. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Let's stand today. Before you can receive the blessings of God, before you can receive the revival that He has for you, before you can receive, guys, can you come? Praise God. Before you can receive what God has planted and placed within your heart today, you got to leave Lodibar. You got to get out of that sin. You got to get out of that trouble. You got to get out of that situation that you're in. And you got to come to a place to say, Lord, I just want to eat. I want to feast. I want to remain in the King's table. I want to continuously stay in the presence of Almighty God. I'll tell you, when I don't hear from God, amen, for a couple days or even a day, I get concerned and say, God, are you still there? Amen. There's times that I don't pray like I should. I'll be the first to say that. But I like to say, if I get too far from God, if I get to the place where I just say, God, I just need to get back into your presence, I'll come into the presence of God and say, God, I'm sorry, and I need more of you. I come at His feet, and I feast in His presence. Hallelujah. And I bask in the anointing in the presence of God and say, God, saturate me again. Fill me again, Lord. Touch me again. Oh, God, let the manna, let the Spirit, let your anointing, let your power flow into my life one more time. Because you know what? Hallelujah. The song, Derek, it goes, wherever I'm going, Lord, You've already been there. So I ask Thee to touch me again. Oh, Lord, touch me again, Lord. Touch me again, Lord. Let Your manna, hallelujah, flow from on high. Oh, wherever I'm going, Lord, You've already been there. So I ask You to touch me again. I wonder if we could just make our way to the front this afternoon. Say, God, I just want to feast at Your table. I just want to sit there and allow the blessings and allow the joy to continually be in my life. And let the power of God flow. Touch me. Touch me today. Touch me this afternoon. Let Your Spirit rule in my life. Hallelujah. I'm going, Lord, wherever it may be, You've already been there. So I ask You to touch me again. Oh God, just let your manna flow. Let us feast this day. Let us feast at the table. Let us feast in the joy and the blessings of God. Let us feast with Your anointing, God. Let the anointing of God saturate us today. My God, let us not stay in Lodibar.
Let us not stay in Lodibar. Let's not stay in dryness today. But my God, let us come out. Need to touch me. Touch me again. Oh, Lord, touch me again, Lord. Just touch me. Touch me again, Lord. Let your manna flow from on high. Oh Lord, wherever I'm going, yes, you've already been there. So I ask you to touch me again. Come, just let your manna flow today. Oh, touch me again, Lord. Touch me again, Lord. Let your manna just flow from on high. Just let it flow today, God. Wherever I'm going, Lord, you've already been there. So I ask you to touch me again. Touch me again, Lord. God, just let your Spirit flow today. God says, just want to get back into that table again, Lord. I just want to feast at the table of God. I just want to feast at the table of the Lord. I just want to feast, Lord. Hallelujah. I just want to feast at your table, oh God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Yeah, Lord, touch me again, Lord. Touch me again, Lord. Let your manna flow from on high. Hallelujah. Lord, wherever I'm going, yes, you've already been there. So I ask you to touch me again. I'm blessed, and I know that I am. I'm blessed, and I know that I am. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. And I know that I am. I'm blessed. And I know that I am. Oh, I'm saved. And I know that I am. I'm saved. Hallelujah. And I know that I am. I'm saved. And I know that I am. I'm saved. And I know that I am. Got the Holy Ghost. And I know that I am. Got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I know that I do. Got the Holy Ghost. Oh, and I know that I do. Got the Holy Ghost. And I know that I do. Oh, been delivered. And I know that I have. I've been delivered. Hallelujah. And I know that I have. I've been delivered. Oh, and I know that I have been delivered. And I know that I have. I'm on my way to heaven. Hallelujah. And I know that I am. I'm on my way to heaven. Oh, yeah. and I know that I am on my way to heaven. Hallelujah. And I know that I am, I'm on my way to heaven. And I know that I am, I'm saved. Hallelujah. And I know that I am, I'm saved. Oh, and I know that I am, I'm saved. And I know that I am, I'm saved. And I know that I am, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I know that I am filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I know that I am, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And I know that I am filled with the Holy Ghost. And I know that I am, oh, filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, and I know that I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I know that I am, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, and I know that I am filled with the Holy Ghost. And I know that I am, oh yeah, I'm saved. Ah, yes. And I know that I am, I'm saved. And I know that I am, I'm saved. And I know that I am, I'm saved. And I know that I am, I got the Holy Ghost. And I know that I got the Holy Ghost. And I know that I do, I've got the Holy Ghost. And I know that I got the Holy Ghost. And I know that I do. Look what the Lord has done. Oh, look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. Oh, he saved me, and it was just in time. I'm gonna praise his name. Oh, his love remains the same. I'm gonna praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. Look what the Lord has done. Oh, yeah. Look what the Lord has done. Oh yeah, he healed my body. He touched my mind. Oh, he saved me. He was just in time. I'm gonna praise his name. Oh yeah, his love remains the same. Oh yeah, I'm gonna praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Oh, look what the Lord has done. Oh, yeah. Look what the Lord has done. Oh, yes, he did. He healed my body. Oh, he touched my mind. Oh, he saved me. It was just in time. I'm going to praise his name. Hallelujah. Oh, his love remains the same. I'm going to praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Tell me, look what the Lord has done. Ah, yes, he has. Look what the Lord has done. Oh, yeah. He healed my body. He touched my mind. Oh, he saved me. It was just in time. I'm going to praise his name. Oh, he's just still the same. Oh, I'm going to praise him. Look what the Lord has done.